As a prelude to the talk, maybe it's interesting for me to describe to you again a little bit of my practice sitting here. Sit down and felt very comfortable and content to sit here. Kind of didn't feel like anything had to happen. Felt the peacefulness of the room and many of you sitting still. I don't think anything has to be done. And then there is a talk. I suppose I should give a talk. But what feels more true in the moment underneath that is nothing has to happen. And that nothing has to happen just feels like there's a stability or a foundation. It's kind of underneath it, the place where maybe those thoughts and ideas and impulses float that have to do with, you know, it is a little after four and it is a talk time and I'd like to give a talk. I have something to say. So I suppose I will. But really nothing needs to happen. Just being here is enough. So that's a little bit describes what it was like to sit down here and what I'm aware of, what I know as I sit and what goes through. And so then to begin the talk, I suppose, that I've offered, suggested that foundation for this practice is these three things: to know, to sense, and to relax. Know, feel, relax. And that the knowing, the feeling can be a radical change in how we normally live our life, because the knowing and the feeling can be free of any pressure, any agenda, any projections, or any need that needs to happen. In and of itself, knowing and sensing can be peaceful, can be tranquil, can be spacious. They can open to a wider world. And of course, knowing and feeling is something humans do all the time. But when they're laden, when they're weighed down with desires and aversions, wishes and hopes, judgments and all that, it's easy for the knowing and the sensing to be done in a way that is the opposite of opening. They're closing. They delimit our experience. Some people don't like to use words, say any word in knowing or being present, being aware, because they feel so strongly how much that delimits experience. But that's partly a product of how the mind delimits, restricts, closes. It's possible to know, even with words, in a way where the emphasis is not on the word so much. The emphasis is on how the knowing is opening. It's kind of like seeing a friend. And with Jeff right in front of me, I'll use him as the example. I see Jeff, and I say, "Jeff." And I, like, my arms go wide, like, "Oh, Jeff is here. How nice." It's like, now I'm open and available, and whatever is going to happen next. I could do it for each of you. Oh. So I use your name, but rather than the name being laden with history and that, you know, what happened and the wrongs and the desires, it's just like, oh, there's a miracle in front of me, a mystery in front of me that has a name, and so we stop and present, and again, this amazing giving time to our experience. Oh, this is how it is. So it's possible to have words, knowing, or sometimes a wordless knowing even. It's clear that it's done in such a way that, oh, it opens. It opens to the way in which the knowing fades away. Each act of knowing, to stay there long enough in time to see the fading away of that act of recognition. And if that sense of openness to the next thing is there, what follows after the fading? What's that next thing that might fade away? So kind of to begin appreciating the potential of knowing, sensing, relaxing, and how it provides a very different way of being in the world than one that maybe is underpinned by tension and stress, pressure. And we might start having a little inkling of it. Maybe it's just a hint of it. But the repeated doing it over and over again, doing the practice moment by moment, has an effect on us, changes something in us. One of the things that changes is that we're being informed or influenced by something new. If the old way of being influenced is being influenced by the reactivity, the judgments, the desires, the aversions, the fears, which unfortunately is very much what people are conditioning and reconditioning themselves by. And when the act of knowing, of being present, just being, is without that, we're actually not just simply avoiding this unfortunate conditioning influence on us, we're actually beginning to have a very positive influence. And this is the analogy I have for it. If you have a houseplant, and you Keep it in a room that has no windows and the door closed. It's dark. Most houseplants are not going to grow very well like that. And if you happen to have a grow light, great, so that'll help it to grow. Put on a grow light. So you turn it on, but in a different room. That's nice, but it's not going to help the plant. If you want the plant to grow, you put the grow light on the plant that you want to grow. If you don't put the grow, you know, the grow light on it and keep it in the dark, but keep watering and keeping it moist, that might be ideal conditions for mold. I don't know, to grow and but once you bring the grow light into that room on the plant begins to thrive. And the mold that was growing in the soil shrinks away. So there's something about the kind of knowing that we're talking about here. The way that we know things, the way that we are aware of them, influences what grows inside of us. And if we use our awareness kind of unknowingly, not even knowing that we're aware because we're so preoccupied and caught up in what we're angry at or what we're ashamed about or what we're afraid of, it's kind of like not having the grow light on. And something that's not so healthy grows and grows. But when we turn on the light, then something has a chance to grow, something healthy has to grow. The plants that we want to grow can grow. But it helps if you put the grow light on it. So when we do this practice, there's a number of things that we're growing. The classic language is cultivate, which is that's what horticulturalists do. They cultivate plants. And there's a number of things to cultivate in this practice. But we cultivate it like a farmer, like a horticulturalist, a gardener, where we create the conditions that support the growth. We don't cause the growing, but we provide all the supporting conditions for, like a gardener puts a seed in the ground and provides all the supporting conditions that allows it to something to germinate and grow. And if it's outdoors, removes the weeds that are taller so the light can reach the plant so it can grow well. So the light can reach it. So as we do this practice, and this practice of knowing, sensing, relaxing, we're going to begin to open up or come into all kinds of new areas of our life. Some of them are going to be meeting things about ourselves that we maybe avoided or that are very difficult. And some of them might be quite amazing, surprisingly wonderful. We don't know what we're going to encounter as we go through the layers, as we go through it all. But as we can, whatever it is, the difficult, the wonderful, the boring, whatever it is, it helps to have cultivated three different areas, to allow three different things that are really useful, to put the grow light on those, which mostly means notice this part of your experience in the wide kind of range of all the things that are happening in the present moment. You do not need, unless you really want to, you do not need to bring your attention to your little toe and spend a lot of time really focusing on your little toe. You know, you could if you want, but that's not where the grow light is going to do much good. It makes a difference what you value, what you allow and take in. So that's what the talks for these next three talks are about. Things that we want to value, things we want to recognize as we do this practice. Maybe we don't put it center stage, but we do want to let the grow light put it, see it, recognize it, give some priority to its presence, so that they can grow. So there's different things we could call these, a kind of a family of things. I like to call them stability, well-being, and confidence. So today it's stability. An alternative I like is steadiness. So as you're doing this practice, maybe you start feeling that some of the place where there's some stability or steadiness in doing it. Or can you call forth in some gentle, non-compulsory way or without expectation or something, can you call forth your capacity to sit here, walk here, with a kind of groundedness, a kind of stability, so there's like a stability that holds you. And that's, people experience it different ways. One of the ways that I like to experience it, that's been very important for me, is an embodiment. This practice is very embodied. And so, you know, there's a kind of a reference point of wholeness, of being embodied, being stable here in this body. That's kind of in the background or foreground, or it's here to hold it all. And one of the things that it helps with is that when the mind starts going off into some preoccupation, another piece of back to normal business as usual of fears and anxieties and wants and desires, there's a stability, a groundedness, an embodiment that's kind of strong enough sometimes to just remind you, you don't need to get involved in that. Stay here. Here. And even if the body feels restless sometimes, there might be some feeling, some place where there's also stability that you've learned to recognize and maybe cultivate. Just like I said this morning, that tranquility and non-tranquility can coexist. Restlessness and rest, restlessness and stability can coexist. And some of this is to have a steadiness in the practice. So, rain or shine, show up. Rain or shine, be mindful or be aware, know, sense, relax if that's appropriate. And if relaxing is not appropriate, just know and feel. And at some point when that gets too complicated, just do one of them. But do it. Just keep a steadiness. It doesn't have to be fast. Remember, give yourself time. Be in time. The time of the extended now. So just each thing you're allowed, it's allowed its time. But a steadiness of doing it, of keeping it up. And so you start getting an experience of having your mind begin wandering off into some preoccupation. And you have the experience of not going there, but staying on track. Here, staying on track, steady. The stability and steadiness is in the family of concentration, samadhi. But those are big words and complicated words, and people strain and will often do the kind of narrowing of attention, delimiting themselves when they try to get concentrated. But maybe by using the word stability, it's easier to imagine than openings. Kind of like you here again, you're stable so you can open to this experience. And then the steadiness is maybe the being steady in the openness. The steady with this opening knowing. The steadiness of just holding here. So as you're practicing to begin appreciating, valuing stability, steadiness, so that the grow light of awareness, your knowing, your sensing, is like a grow light. It allows something to grow, makes space for something to grow, and something healthy. It's harder for the hindrances, for example, which are kind of moldy. It's kind of harder for the hindrances to thrive if they are clearly seen, clearly known, clearly sensed, namani. It's hard for us to drift off and wander off in the highways, byways, and country roads of our thoughts if we clearly see that we're thinking. Clearly know thinking. Clearly know thinking has these sensations in them. These are the sensations of thinking, the physical sensations. So this, you know, the power of this clear seeing, that certain things are hard to persist, hard to keep going, because they're not being fed by the food they need to keep growing. And a lot of the attachments we have, maybe subconsciously, they are being fed by our involvement, by our engagement with our something. But to see clearly is an alternative to that kind of food. But to see clearly is food for what is healthy in us. The Buddha was very explicit about this and talked about the food that nourishes the seven factors of awakening. These beautiful qualities of mindfulness, sati, investigation, courageous effort, joy, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. part of this stability and steadiness grows with the continuity of practice. Just keep practicing moment by moment. Stay close to this. Have a kind of, if you're such a person, maybe you're not, some of you, but if you're such a person, a loving devotion to the practice. To have the continuity, stay on track through time, from one timeless moment to the next. How many timeless moments have you been in? I've been in lots. Do they bleed into each other? Sometimes they seem to, and sometimes there seem to be big gaps between them. Where do they go? So the steadiness, staying with time, staying in time, staying in time has two different meanings, right? Staying in the flow, the movement of time in the present moment. And also it's a musical term. Stay in time. Stay in time with your breathing. Stay in time with the rhythm. Stay in time here. So this continuity. And sometimes the steadiness, stability is really helped if you let your attention settle into something, one thing that's your primary thing you stay on, like you come to rest on it. Coming to rest on the experience of breathing, for example. Coming to rest in the experiences having that happening in the body. Coming to rest on experiences of pain. What a strange concept. Isn't that weird? Coming to rest, attention rests on pain. That's very different than, of course, having pain and being restless on top of it, agitated. But it's possible, this idea of whatever is happening, sometimes just kind of resting on it or staying with it, so that there's a steadiness, there's a continuity, there's a absorption can develop, just everything else falls away, and it's just this. But not a just this that is contracted. But the amazing thing is the way we can be just this. Things get limited, reduced to simplicity. But not because it's become tight in the mind, narrow. Just like that's all there's left in vast space. Vast stillness all around. Things fall away. So spending some time becoming familiar with how it is for you personally to feel an embodied stability, to feel a mental stability, to feel an emotional stability. What would that look like? How is that for you? What do you know? And then let that be in the picture. Somehow include that. Sometimes when I'm with my breathing, on the exhale, I love the idea of releasing everything on the exhale. Sometimes I like the idea of letting go, but letting go into the stability that's here. Letting go into a sense of steady presence. Sometimes I do the sense of letting go in the mind, of letting go into steady focus of the mind, just staying here on this, the breathing, for example. And there, one of the reasons I'm emphasizing this today is that for our capacity to really to know and to sense, to really achieve its full potential, really become full, it really helps if it has cornerstones or foundations or a tripod that it stands on or rests on. So it's not so easily pushed around or distracted or caught up or disturbed or troubled by the world of change and the vagaries of what happens in practice. So these tripod that holds it all well in place is stability and well-being and confidence. Stability is an alternative to leaning forward into time, into the future, wanting or pulling back, resisting. Probably in my early 20s, a new young Buddhist practitioner, there was this cartoonist, I forget his name, some of you will know his name, who had this cartoon character called Mr. Natural. And Mr. Natural would just go and sit in the desert. It's a whole series of these cartoon pictures, someplace out like in the middle of the desert in California or something. And he would just kind of slouch down with his white robes and just a little bit like the Beatles' idea, Mr. Nobody, just sit there. And then a road would get put in and then some buildings and all the stuff was built up around him and cities and everything. And then they'd collapse and fall away. And finally, when he woke up out of his meditation, everything was gone, back to desert. Mr. Natural, you know. There was something about, I don't know, sweet about Mr. Natural, you know. But what it lacked, that image, was the strength of practice, the strength of the practitioner that comes through in the teachings of the Buddha, where the stability You get a sense sometimes that there's dignity in that stability, that presence. I mean, this Buddha isn't like Mr. Natural was slouched over, you know, sitting there in the desert. The Buddha doesn't slouch. There's a dignity, there's a strength. Sometimes the practitioners are likened to nagas. Nagas is either like a big elephant or a serpent. I don't know how you feel about being referred to as an elephant or a serpent, but these are images of strength, power, powerful images of the ancient India. And maybe you're also hesitant around the idea of power for good reason. But this is, you get the sense in so many different ways that the Buddha was kind of treating people as with dignity, like there's royalty. And so the stability of truly taking your place here that you're allowed to be here. You're allowed to be all of yourself. You're allowed to show up completely here, now. And so stability is I associate with a certain dignity, to sit with dignity, to sit with a certain kind of, some modicum of strength. But maybe it's not something you have to do, but maybe it's already here. Just have to make room for it. Maybe if you sit up a little bit straighter, it's enough. Or when you walk, stand a little straighter. Or maybe as you keep doing the practice, the stability, the steadiness that begins to grow because of the continuity and the repetition of the practice. Maybe it opens up or reveals a fullness, a wholeness that is you, that's allowed to be here unapologetically. So maybe as you continue practicing, maybe some little part of what I said today will support your, encourage you to practice continuity. Look for how to be here in a more stable way. And when that doesn't work, just know that. Remember, you're protected by this knowing. Knowing is the refuge. It'll protect you if you know the art, this trick of this. Just know. In the simplicity of knowing. But if that knowing can be the grow light for your stability, your steadiness of practice, your continuity of practice moment after moment, may that grow light shine bright for you. May your capacity to practice bring much light to your goodness that exists here. So thank you. So in that those moments of sitting here now just at the end and saying thank you and knowing that that was what was happening, and knowing all this here, there was an opening, to an even deeper gratitude to each of you and all of you. It's phenomenal what you're doing here, and I appreciate so much the practice and your dedication, your involvement, and so just know that gratitude can be one of the byproducts of knowing, sensing, relaxing. Can't be that bad, can it then? Thank you.